بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We have finished the various postures of Salah and we come to the final posture of Salah. That is the Qada posture and the Salam when a person comes out of Salah. And we said that when a person has now completed all his requests, he has recited Surah Fatiha, he has placed this request before Allah Ta'ala, he has proclaimed the greatness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he had made the tasbihat of Allah Ta'ala, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Ala, according to his ability and his understanding, then a person has become worthy of sitting before Allah Ta'ala. But we said this is contrary to etiquette. This is not adab. That in front of Allah Ta'ala, a person sits down. So this is not adab. So here, Salmanana has written that what is the purpose, what is the objective, why we sitting before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? He says for this reason, that for our understanding, as I explained earlier, that Allah Ta'ala is not like a human body, doesn't have limbs like a human body. That when Allah Ta'ala spreads his feet, then a person will now kiss the feet of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Ulama have written that what is the position of an alim of deen, and particularly an alim Rabbani, who has the love of Allah Ta'ala, the recognition of Allah Ta'ala, such a high position. That ulama have written that it is even, some have written that it is permissible to even kiss the feet of an alim. Although others say that's not permissible, there's a difference of opinion. Allama Shami rahmatullahi alayhi, who is a very high authority in Hanafi fiqh. Generally the fatawa that are given, they are given from the kitab of Allama Shami rahmatullahi alayhi, and other kitabs as well. But generally the kitab of Allama Shami rahmatullahi alayhi is used. So there he's brought a proof. He says that on one occasion, one person, he came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And he told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that, what is the proof that you the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed a tree that was there that come to me. And this was a miracle, this was a mu'ajiza, that the tree then moved and came to Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam told the tree that now go back to your place. And the tree went back to its original position. So when this happened, this person then kissed the forehead of Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he kissed the feet of Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam added on this, and he said that if I was to command anyone to make sajda to anyone besides Allah Ta'ala, if I told anyone to make sajda to anyone besides Allah Ta'ala, then I would have commanded the wives to make sajda to the husband. That is the position of the husband. But obviously, this is not permissible. A person, wife cannot make sajda to the husband. Sajda is made only to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this was the proof Allama Shami rahmatullahi alayhi has brought. The author of Mazahir al-Haq, this is a kitab of hadith, Mishkat Sharif, he's written a commentary which is called Mazahir al-Haq. So he also says that to kiss the feet of an alim of deen, fundamentally it is permissible. But there are those ulama that say it is not permissible because what will happen is that pride will come into a person. If you're kissing somebody's feet, that person, pride will come into him. That is why they have written that it is makruh, that it shouldn't be done in this time. But it is permissible. Similarly, kissing the feet of one's mother, there also it is permissible. In one hadith it comes that a person that kisses the feet of his mother, he has actually kissed the threshold of Jannat. That is the position of the mother. And Jannat, we always hear that Jannat is under the feet of your mother. So to kiss the feet of your mother is like kissing the threshold of Jannat. It is narrated in the Kitab Mabsut that a person by the name of Muhammad bin Munkadir, he says that on one particular night I stayed awake making the khidmat of my mother. And he says the whole night I pressed the feet of my mother. And he says, on the other hand, my brother, whilst I was making this khidmat of my mother, he spent the entire night in ibadat. He says that it won't make me happy to exchange that khidmat that I made for my mother, that I give to my brother and he gives me his night of ibadat. I'm not happy with that. I rather make the khidmat of my mother. Although Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, in his kitab Jawahirul Fiqh, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has written, he says, kissing the feet of the mother doesn't mean literally a person, he goes and kisses the feet. He says a person must kiss the hand. And after kissing the hand, then you place your hand on the feet of the mother. So he says indirectly. But in that way, a person shows respect to the mother. So here also, Allah Ta'ala, we won't treat like how it is, like a normal human being. This is according to the shan of Allah Ta'ala. This is our understanding. So he says that a person now is waiting to kiss the feet of Allah Ta'ala. Or a person in the qada, in the sitting posture, you are waiting now. What is the command of Allah? What my Allah Ta'ala wants next from me? So I'm prepared to carry out that command of Allah Ta'ala. But he says that this position, now we're waiting for the command of Allah Ta'ala. But this position of salah also, it is not void of ibadat. Every posture of salah, there is some ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. So that's where we stop. He continues. He says, لیکن اس مقام کو بھی عبادت سے خالی نہیں رکھنا چاہے. He said, this position also, it should not be left free and empty and void of عبادت. کہ تحفہ درود اور سلام کا اور پڑھنا تشہد کا مقرر ہے. That now when we're in the sitting posture, he says, now you will present your gift of salam, durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this place you will now recite the tashahud. This Mullah Bayazid Pandor Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, from who was in Indonesia, he used to say, he was a student of Mullah Madni rahmatullahi alayhi, was better than Mullah Hussein Ahmad Madni rahmatullahi alayhi. He says that Allah Ta'ala mentioned that salah, wa aqimis salata li zikri, that salat is for my zikr. But he said that salat also, it wasn't void of durood sharif. Durood sharif was brought in salah also. In the end of salah, you have to read durood sharif. And then a person completes his salah. He says, why? Because the durood is 100% accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala. So when the durood is accepted in the court of Allah, we know the condition of our salah, where our mind goes and how our mind drifts in salah. So he says, when that end of salah, when that durood is accepted, so it will pull that whole salat now to acceptance. Our Hazrat gives an example of this. He says that when we go to the airport, you see the big plane, Boeing 737, 747, whatever it might be. Such a big plane, carrying 100, 200, 300 passengers sometimes. But he says that that plane on its own, it doesn't come onto the runway. He says, what pulls the plane onto the runway? He says that it is that little tug, that little truck that you get. Our small tug, small truck like that, is pulling a big plane with so many passengers inside. And then brings that plane onto the runway. Now that plane will take off, 180 kilometers an hour it takes off. And then it's going to fly and cruise at 900 kilometers an hour. And where it travels, 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 kilometers it will then travel. And it will bring a person to his destination. But he said, what brought it on the runway is that little tug. He said, exactly the same way I understand it. That durood sharif is that amal that will bring all our actions to acceptance. That's why Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah in one poem he says, agar salli ala na ho zuba par, to kya asar hoga ah wa fugha mein. That if there's no durood on the tongue, that dua that you're making, you're crying before Allah Ta'ala, and you're making dua to Allah Ta'ala. He says, what effect will there be in there? When a person cries, he says, that is a receipt now from Allah Ta'ala, your dua has been accepted by Allah Ta'ala. That is why a person cries. But there are many people that can't cry. It's difficult for a person to cry. But I mentioned before also, Mullah Thami Rahmatullah Alayhi says that when a person, he gets involved in some guna, and at that time he cannot cry, but the heart feels that pain, that how could I do this? How could I get involved in this wrong? He says that feeling of the heart, that is the crying of the heart. So, but a person, durood sharif, he can read. So if he can't cry, and that sign of acceptance is not there, then the durood that you read, that is now you got your receipt, that your dua has been accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala. So this is the position of durood. One alim was explaining, I didn't come across this narration myself anywhere, but he says that there was one person in the Bani Israel, and he was a perpetual drunkard, involved in wrong. So one day he was walking in that state of intoxication, and he came to a dump. Where the dump was, there he fell down, and then so happened that moth also came over there, Allah Ta'ala save us. But he passed away in that situation, in that case where he was intoxicated, he was drunk. So nobody even knew about him. He was lying somewhere in the dump. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala inspired some wali of his of that time, go pick that person up and attend to him. So they went and they attended to him. So after that he went to find out that what did this person do. Nobody had any good report about him. Everybody knew what type of a person he was. Then he made dua to Allah Ta'ala. So then Allah Ta'ala inspired that wali of the time. Said that marratan qara at-tawrah. That once he opened the Tawrat. He read that kitab that was sent to Musa alayhi salam. And he read the Tawrat. Fawajada isma Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi salam. In reading the Tawrat, he found the name of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam in the Tawrat. Faqabbalahu. He took it and he kissed it. Wawada'ahu ala aynayh. He placed it on his eyes. And once in his life, wasalla alayhi, he sent durood upon Nabi alayhi salam. On that Allah made his maghfirat. Allah Ta'ala sent the wali that go and pick him up. So durood is a very, very great ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. So that's what he says here, that this occasion also is not void of ibadat. Here also is the ibadat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and that is the gift of durood and salam upon Nabi alayhi salam and tashahud. So now he explains that what is the tashahud. Understand the tashahud also. Istara par attahiyyatu lillah. When a person is saying that attahiyyatu lillah, that all my verbal ibadat, all my verbal utterances, this belongs to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So attahiyyatu lillah, wa salawat, Wasalawat refers to the physical ibadat that a person is doing. This namaz that a person is doing, this is a physical ibadat of his. So all the physical ibadat going up, down in ruku, sajda, etc., physically he is doing that. Whatever he is reciting in the various postures, that is the verbal ibadat. So all the physical ibadat that I do, that is also for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Wattayyibat, and the monetary ibadat, the money that a person spends, whether it is zakat, whether it is zakatul fitr, whether it is nafil charity, whatever it is, all this also is for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that is the sum total of the life of a person. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. My salah is also for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My qurbani that I make, that is also for Allah ta'ala. Wa mahyaya, my life, my dying, this is all for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So whatever ibadat you make, whether it is verbal, whether it is physical, or whether it is the monetary ibadat, it's for Allah ta'ala. How Allah ta'ala responds to that? Allah ta'ala says, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. That salutations, peace be upon you, O Nabi. He said that all my verbal ibadat is for Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says that peace be upon you, O my Nabi. The second thing he mentioned, that all my my physical ibadat, that is for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So on that Allah ta'ala says, that wa rahmatullah, may the rahmat of Allah ta'ala be upon you. So everything that Nabi al-Islam mentioned, on that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala responded. And the third one, all my monetary ibadat is for Allah ta'ala. So on that Allah ta'ala says, that the barakat and the blessings of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is upon you. So when the person reads that tahiyyat in salah also, be conscious of this, that your person is saying that all my ibadat is for Allah ta'ala. Whether it is my physical ibadat, verbal ibadat, monetary ibadat. And in return what Allah ta'ala is giving, Allah ta'ala's peace, Allah's rahmat and Allah ta'ala's blessings. And then a person, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam remembered the ummah, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. That peace be upon all of us, not only upon Nabi alayhi salam, upon all of us. And the righteous and pious servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He always explains, when he explains the aspect of tahajjud namaz, that a person that reads this tahajjud namaz, then there are four promises from Allah ta'ala. One promise of the tahajjud namaz is da'bu salihin. This has always been the way of the pious people. The pious people, they never miss their tahajjud namaz. Tahajjud namaz, they always are. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's difference of opinion. Some say that for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was fard upon Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam to read the tahajjud namaz. So the tahajjud namaz has been the way, da'bu salihin has been the way of the righteous people, of the pious people. Now a person that reads his tahajjud namaz, what happens? Allah Ta'ala has one register. And this register has the name of all the salihin. All the pious people, their name come into this register. So once your name is in this register now, that you are among the salihin, now the whole world is reading namaz. Somewhere in the world, at this point, maybe they are reading some namaz, Fajr namaz, Zohar namaz, somewhere in the world, according to the time differences in the world, somewhere they are reading namaz at this time also. So every Muslim in the world, he is reading namaz. And every Muslim, what is he saying? As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. That peace be upon us and the righteous servants of Allah. So once you in the register of salihin, every Muslim in the world, he is making dua for you. To such an extent, as I explained, he says, sometime you got a problem with somebody. And that person that you got a problem with, you taking him to court. This matter is going to court. Although that should not be the situation, this is just for us to understand. That now this matter is going to court. But that now your name is in the register of the salim because you read tahajjud namaz. That person taking you to court, he is also reading namaz. And he is also saying, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salim. So one side he is taking you to court. On the other side he is making dua for you as well. So one is da'bu salihin. The second benefit of this is, whilst we at it, we rather finish it, manhiyatun anil ism. That many people say that I can't give up gunas, I can't give up sins. So this tahajjud namaz, this is actually a powerhouse. It will stop a person from giving up gunas. Anyone that starts reading tahajjud namaz, very shortly Allah Ta'ala will give a person the tawfiq. He will be able to give up gunas and give up sins. So manhiyatun anil ism. Like for example, you have the powerhouse where the electricity is being supplied from. But sometimes where you have to supply the electricity from, that is very, very far. So there is a problem. So they put a substation. Somewhere in between they put a substation. So they will boost it up from that particular area. So exactly the same way tahajjud namaz, this will boost us up. It will give the person the ability to stay away from gunas and sins. So manhiyatun anil ism. The third thing, mukaffiratun lissayyi'at. that the gunas that a person commits, a person he reads tahajjud namaz, all our gunas referring to the minor sins, the gunas of a person will be forgiven by reading tahajjud namaz. And the fourth thing, qurbatul lakum inda rabbikum, that a person will get the closeness of Allah Ta'ala. Like for example, a person, he got a first class ticket, he's holding of any airway. Now when you go to the airport, you're holding first class ticket, you don't wait in the queue. They will come and they'll pick you up from your house. They will take you to the airport. They'll tell you, right, you go into VIP lounge, you're holding first class ticket, and the price is like that also. So you go and sit in the VIP lounge, everything free of charge. You can rest over there, you can eat over there, you don't pay a single cent. They will check your goods in. When everything is checked in, they come and give you your ticket. They say, now it's going to be time for boarding, you can go to your gate. When the boarding starts also, first class passengers, they go in first. Then they are after business class, and then they take economy class in. So exactly the same way on the day of Qiyamah, when everyone will have to stand before Allah Ta'ala. Those that got the closeness of Allah, they VIP, they will be enjoying under the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. But as Rakim Sahib Rahmatullahi used to say, Jaha arsh hoga, Jaha saya hoga, where there will be the shade of the arsh of Allah Ta'ala, waha hisab nahi hoga. There's no hisab kitab, direct ticket, you go into Jannat. Or Jaha saya nahi hoga, waha hisab hoga. And where there is no shade, there a person is have to answer, he'll have to give hisab to Allah Ta'ala. And imagine one thing, if Allah Ta'ala is to question us, we finish. That's why we must make dua, Allahumma haatibna hisaba yaseera. Allah, make our reckoning easy for us on the day of Qiyamah. Give us green light that we can just go through. And this tahajjud namaz also is not the best. Tahajjud is a person wakes up in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, he reads tahajjud namaz before Subah Sadiq. But the time of tahajjud starts when? After the 4 faradz of Isha and the 2 sunnahs. You read 4 faradz of Isha, now you read the 2 sunnahs. After that, the person can read tahajjud namaz. Although the reward day is much more greater. So, for a person that is a beginner, he must start here. After that, read 2 rakats of sunnah, 2 rakats of tahajjud namaz. And then Allah Ta'ala gives you tawfiq in the morning. Then you wake up, you read in the morning also. I will give an example of this. He says, like a person, that reading tahajjud after Isha namaz is like dar roti. And reading tahajjud at the time of Subah Sadiq, before Subah Sadiq, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, he says that is like biryani. So he says now, a person says, now I want to eat biryani. I want to eat biryani in the morning. So he leaves out his dar roti. And he says, now if you left out your dar roti and you overslept, so you missed your dar roti here, you missed your biryani over there. So he says, don't lose out. Start, eat your dar roti now. And then when you wake up in the morning, don't worry, the appetite will always be there. You'll eat your biryani at that time also. Or another example we can take is like a person when he buys the phone, youngster now, 12 years old, 13 years old, everybody got a phone today. So when he buys the phone, he can't afford a contract. What he buys prepaid, pay as you go. So he buys a prepaid. And then from the prepaid, now he goes on to contract. So exactly the same way, tahajjud after Isha, that is prepaid. And then you build out now, and then you go on to contract. Now you'll wake up at the time of tahajjud in the morning, you'll read tahajjud at that time. But if you reach contract, now you don't come back onto prepaid. Anyone that reads the top, he don't come down again. He increases further. So anyone that's on contract, he mustn't go down. And it's mentioned also in the riwayat, it comes that, for example, a person, he knows with certainty, he is going to wake up for tahajjud namaz. That person, he mustn't even read his witr after Isha. He must read his witr when he is going to wake up after he finishes tahajjud. Last, it was a practice of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after tahajjud, then he will read witr. So witr you will read at that time. But that is for people that are 100% confident. We are generally not confident. So for us, rather we read it after Isha, we read our 2 sunnahs, we read 2 rakats nafil with the intention of tahajjud, then you read your witr salah. So there also you read your witr salah, so there also you acted on the teachings of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So here we are saying, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. And thereafter a person says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that I bear witness, there is no deity except Allah Ta'ala. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, and I bear witness that verily Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he is the rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Which he translates here in Urdu as well, but I translated it in English. Parna at-tahiyyat ka qada pehle aur dusre mein wajib hai. Now to read this at-tahiyyat, these words, at-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. If it's a 4 rakat namaz, now in the first sitting, meaning after 2 rakat when you read at-tahiyyat, it is wajib to recite the words of at-tahiyyat. And similarly, in the last rakat, in the 4th rakat, when you sit and you read at-tahiyyat, recitation of at-tahiyyat, this is wajib in both the sitting postures. اور بیٹھنا قعدہ پچھلے میں بقدر پڑھنے التحیات کے فرض ہے. But the final sitting posture, where it's a 4 rakat namaz, in the final sitting posture, to sit for the duration of التحیات, One is, I said, recitation. Recitation of at-tahiyyat is wajib. But to sit in the final sitting posture for the duration of at-tahiyyat, that is fard. To sit for the duration of at-tahiyyat, that is fard. And to read the at-tahiyyat, that is wajib. So this is in the final sitting posture. Or mazmoon qada akhir ka is tarah samjhe. Now he says, understand that this final sitting posture of ours, understand it, what is the subject matter, what it means. Ke ye waqt darbar ke rukhsat ka hai. That the final sitting posture now, when we are sitting to complete our namaz, so he says, you came into the court of Allah Ta'ala. You started your namaz, you were in conversation with Allah Ta'ala. You had now proclaimed the greatness of Allah, you presented your needs before Allah, you made the tasbihat of Allah. Now it's time you are leaving the royal court of Allah Ta'ala and you are now going. So he says, ke ye waqt darbar ke rukhsat ka hai, assalamu alayka karke bahar aana chahiye. When you leave somebody's house, he entertained you, he looked after you. Now you're leaving, how can you leave without salam? So you make salam and then you leave that person. So here also when you're coming out of salah, you make salam. And then you leave the court of Allah Ta'ala. Or assalamu alayka is darbar ke sahib ka ye hai, attahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. So he says the salam that you make to Allah Ta'ala, when you're leaving the court of Allah Ta'ala, what is that salam? This attahiyyat. So the attahiyyat that we read and we come out of namaz, this is actually our greeting, our salam, our final salam to Allah Ta'ala, that now I'm leaving, I'm completing my salah. So in this way we greet Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and we leave. Baad iske salam Nabi alayhi salatu was salam par hai. And after reading the attahiyyat, now we send salutation upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is tarah ke assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So this is the salam that we're sending upon Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. Aur apne waaste aur sab bandon ke waaste is tarah hai. And he says that now when a person is sending this salutation or this salam upon for himself and for all other servants, that a person is making dua of peace for himself and for all other servants. Now he says, As-salamu alayna, that peace be upon us, wa ala ibadillahi salin, and all the righteous servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Baad is tashahud hai. Now after you have recited this much, the greeting of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and salam upon Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, and dua of peace for ourselves and all the righteous people, now comes the tashahud. What is the actual tashahud? Or tashahud kehte hai gawai dene ko. Tashahud actually means that a person gives testimony. A person gives evidence. That's the meaning of tashahud. Somebody asked, what is the meaning of tashahud? It means to give evidence, to give testimony. Ke wo ye hai. What is the tashahud? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. That a person says that I bear witness. There is no deity except Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There is no other ilah except Allah. This is tashahud. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And I bear witness that verily Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and he is the rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So here when a person is in salam and a person now gives evidence that there is no deity except Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala is only one in his zat. In his being also Allah ta'ala is one. In the sifat of Allah Ta'ala, in the qualities of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is unique, Allah Ta'ala is alone. Nobody shares the qualities of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala as well. So here a person in namaz, he is saying this. When we come out of the masjid now, when a person leaves the masjid, so this belief should remain with a person even outside the masjid. For example, a person, he is now worried about his risk, he is worried about his sustenance. So here in salah you are saying that Allah Ta'ala in his zat, he is one. In his sifat, risk and sustenance is only from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So outside the masjid also, this is the conviction that a person has that my risk is from Allah Ta'ala. When Umar Sahib Palanpuri rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, he says that if a person, he brings a idol, and this idol is made of gold, and he brings it on the day of Jumu'ah, and he puts it in the first step of your masjid. He puts that idol, what will happen? Everyone will stand up, everyone will start breaking that idol, taking that idol out, throw it out. This is kufr, this is shirk. How can you bring this over here? So this person, he takes his idol away. What he does, he melts the idol. And the next week he comes, he makes Kruger coins. With that gold idol, now pure gold, he makes Kruger coins. He's got, for example, 300-400 Kruger coins. And he tells every musalli now, here, there's a Kruger coin for you. And you'll be able to fulfill your need with this. So what you say? Correct. What you say? Correct. That now a person can fulfill his need. Whereas that is incorrect. The person, his full yaqeen should be on Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will fulfill our need. Our risk is from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That is the yaqeen. This is just as a sabab Allah Ta'ala has made it. Actually, it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that is fulfilling all our need. the switch that you got, the power is not coming from the switch. You just on the switch. The current is behind the switch. That is coming from wherever the power, the current supposed to be coming from, the main board or wherever, that is where it's coming from. Here it is just the switch. Exactly the same way, the shop that you have, that is just the switch. The risk is coming from behind that. Allah Ta'ala is sending the risk. لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُ Quran says that read your namaz. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ That command your family to read namaz. وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا And you remain steadfast on your namaz. What is the result? لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا We don't ask you for risk. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُ We will give you risk. We will give you your sustenance. It's mentioned in the kitab, an incident has been written about one particular person. They were from this tribe. It was known as the Kurdi tribe. So they were bandits, these were thieves. So they were going one occasion and all the bandits were there, they had their arms, etc., that they used for robbing. So they came to a particular place, it was hot in the afternoon, so they said, let us rest over here. So they lay down, they rested in that place. So they noticed in front of them there were three trees, and one tree had dates, fresh dates on it. And there was another tree that was bare, there was nothing growing on that tree. So the leader of the bandit, who was from the Skubbi tribe, so he notices there's a bird. The bird comes to the tree with the date, it picks the date, and it goes to the bare tree. And when it returns, there's nothing in the mouth of the bird. So this bird kept going to and fro. It would come, take a date, go on the other side. So after some time, he decided to inquire. He said, let me go and see also that what's going on here. So he went on the top of the tree. He notices that on the tree that was bare, there was a snake. And the snake was blind. And here Allah Ta'ala had made intizam that this bird would take the date and go and put it in the mouth of the snake. Now look at that risk. So he said to himself, he said, Ya Allah, what is my position? That we have been commanded to kill the snake. The snake is harmful. Person is permitted, you can kill the snake. But when that snake lost its sight, now it cannot see any longer, then you use the bird to provide and give risk to that snake. And what are we doing? We are robbing, we are stealing from people. So immediately they made Tawbah. All those arms that they had, they broke it. And they put on the ihram. And they said, now we're going to Makkah al-Mukarramah. Let us go and make Umrah. Let us make Tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. So they traveled for a period of 3 days. On the third day, they reached a particular destination. So there was one lady that was calling out, that is there anyone here from the Kurdi tribe? Is there anyone here from the Kurdi tribe? So this person said, yes, it's me. I'm from the Kurdi tribe. Said, what is it? He said, exactly 3 days ago. 3 days they traveled. So in other words, he made Tawbah 3 days ago. And they made intention for Umrah. My son had passed away. And from 3 days, I see Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in my dream. And Nabi alayhi salam says that all your possession that belonged to your son, that entire estate, take it and give it to this person from the Kurdi tribe. Now look how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala provides. He's mentioned once, I think it was the Ash'ari tribe. They had come to Medina Munawwara. When they came to Medina Munawwara, they brought all the provisions and they came. But those provisions were not going to last. So the provisions were all finished. So they said, now what must we do? So they appointed one person from the Jamaat. They said, you go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you tell Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah, our provisions are now exhausted. We don't have no more provisions left. That make some intizam, some arrangement for us. So this person, he came. When he comes to the room of Nabi alayhi wa sallam, he's reciting Quran. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا There is no creature that crawls on the surface of the earth except Allah has taken the responsibility of risk. Risk will come only from Allah Ta'ala. So when he hears this, he says, then why must I ask Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Allah Ta'ala will take care. So he went back to his people. He didn't tell them anything. So they thought that he put his request before Nabi Alaihi Wasallam. Arrangements is going to be made. Just then one person comes, whole bowl full of meat and lot of rotis, and he gives it to these people. So they thought Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made arrangement. He sent this. So they ate. But there was so much of food, they said there's so much left over. Let's give it to Nabi alayhi salam. There may be other people that I need. They will fulfill their needs. So he went back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, this food you arrange for us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I didn't arrange no food. Said, Ya Rasulullah, we send this man. And he came back and then this food came. So then he explained what had happened. So he says, this is that risk. Nabi alayhi salam said that this is that risk which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent from you. So that person that puts his trust in Allah, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا Person has taqwa, no matter what problem he's in, Allah will open the way for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ And Allah ta'ala will provide for him from where he cannot even think, where he cannot even imagine. A man is here in South Africa. Tomorrow he travels, he goes from here, he's gone to Makkah Sharif, he's gone for Umrah. Your risk you're supposed to get here, Look at the system of Allah, the computer system of Allah. Automatic, that risk is now transferred. From here you went to Makkah Sharif, that same risk will now come to Makkah to Mukarramah. If a person you went to America, that risk from South Africa, now it is transferred to America. People that are here from so many countries. So your risk from your country, Allah transferred it. That now in this country, give him his risk. So this is how Allah Ta'ala takes care of everyone. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. Man puts his trust in Allah, Allah is sufficient for such a person. Many a time, so this is the tawakkul a person, when he recites the kalima, then this is the conviction that he has. And one hadith mentioned that وَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٌ, that if some difficulty comes upon you, at that time also a person, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ لَكَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Don't say, if I had done this, this would have happened, this would have happened. وَلَكِنْ قُلْ قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. Say that this is what Allah has designed. What Allah Ta'ala wishes, that is what will happen. Many a times, for example, it can happen. Allah save us, just an example for us to understand the point. A person, he is running a business. Now he says that, you know, Monday afternoon, I got a whole lot of cash, so let me go and do the deposit. But then he feels lazy or something happens. He says, no, I'm not going this afternoon to do the deposit. I'll go tomorrow morning, the bank will be quiet. Monday, the banks are busy also. Tuesday morning, I will go. Now, Tuesday morning when he left, Allah save us. Now, on the way, there was a hold up. So all that cash that he had, it's gone. So now, at that time, you mustn't say that Monday after, I should have just went yesterday. If I went yesterday, I would have been protected. No, قدر الله وما شاء فعل. This is what Allah has did this time. What Allah Ta'ala wishes, that is what will happen. A person, he has to go for an operation. He goes to a certain hospital. Now they do the operation. It is not successful. So now many a time, what do you say? That no, I shouldn't have come to this doctor. I shouldn't have come to this hospital. No, at that time, don't say that if I did this, then this would have happened. قُلْ قَدَّرَ اللَّهِ. This is what Allah has designed. وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. What Allah wishes, that's what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does. So when a person is reciting the kalima also, when he's reciting the tashahud, this is that conviction a person should recite tashahud with. Today the problem, another problem is, going off the topic, but I'll just finish on this much, that today the problem is security also. So today we have tried everything. Person has put his burglar guard also, and there's no problem. A person must put that. What is within your means, you should put. Put your alarm system also, all this. But at the end of the day, that security is from Allah Ta'ala. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was born, at that time, Fir'aun had put, it is mentioned, armies in every residential area. Every residential area he had put armies. That when a boy is born, then the army must go immediately into that home and kill that child. And they were midwives. So when the child was born, the midwife will go in. And she will come in, she will give a report to the army that a boy has been born in this home. Next thing, the army is in, they kill that child. How many? Some have written approximately 80,000 children. They lost their lives. They took that life of 80,000 children. So nevertheless, when Musa alayhi salam was born, the midwife that came in, she saw Musa alayhi salam. It is mentioned, as Rakim Sahib has written in his Kashkol al-Marifat, he said, Allah Ta'ala had kept such beauty in the eyes of Musa alayhi salam, that anybody that looked in the eyes of Musa alayhi salam, he fell in love with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. That is one reason why Mashayikh say that eye contact is very dangerous with the opposite gender. That little eye contact that takes place, from there you don't know what and what can happen. So that eye contact. So here she saw, her eyes met with the eyes of Musa alayhi salam. She fell in love with the child. When she fell in love with the child, when she came out, she told them that here the child was born and he has passed away. So they didn't worry about it. But then some doubt came into them. Some doubt came. They said, no man, let us go and check. So the soldiers then went into that home. So when they went into the home, this child was in the hand of the sister of Musa alayhi salam. So in that panic, the fire was burning. She took the child and threw the child into the fire. And anyway, they came, they checked, no child. But they didn't even ask at that time, where did you all bury the child? But they thought, there is no child over here, so they went away. Now, after they went away, when they came back to their senses, so now they're asking, where is Musa alayhi salam? So at that time, the sister realized that I threw the child into the fire. She went and she took him out 100% intact, 100% safe, absolutely nothing wrong. This is that conviction, that security also is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala instructed the mother of Musa, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِي. You don't fear, you feed this child. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ. When you have fear now, that harm is going to come to him. فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمْ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Put him in the river. Don't fear, wala takhafi, wala tahzani, don't grieve also. This child, inna radduhu ilayk, we will return him to you. Waja'iluhu min al-mursaleen, and we will make him from the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. In another place, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, anikdi fihi fi tabut, faqdi fihi fi al-yam, fal yulqihi al-yamu bil sahil. That take him, put him in that box, and put that box into the ocean, and the river, and the river will take that box to the bank. And who's going to pick him up there? Allah Ta'ala says, يَأْخُذْهُ عَدُوُّ لِي وَعَدُوُّ لَهُ. My enemy and the child's enemy is going to pick this child up. But I will protect the child. So the conviction should be on Allah Ta'ala. This is the lesson of the shahud. That when we're saying that there is no deity except Allah, our protection also is in Allah. Our risk also is from Allah. Everything that happens in my life, this is from Allah Ta'ala. Don't blame anybody. When Atami Rahmatullah used to say that person that's got his connection with Allah Ta'ala, he's connected to Allah. Anything that happens in his life, he won't put the blame on anyone else. He's not going to fight with that person. If somebody throws a stone at the dog doesn't fight with the stone. Because he knows that the stone can't come on its own. There's somebody behind the stone that has thrown the stone. The problem that came in my life, Allah used that person as the sabab. He hasn't caused the problem. It is coming from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So yo, also this is the lesson that we should take from tashahud as well. So this he makes the translation of this in Urdu. He says, "Malum kare ke aise hi mazmoon ko zuban par lane aur dil mein yakin karne se musalman hua hai." He says that no, that this subject matter, what we have recited over here of the kalima, that you bear witness, there is no deity except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger, is his rasul. He says by bringing it on the tongue, and at the same time, a person having the conviction of it in the heart. This is what makes a person a Muslim. For a person to be a Muslim, there's two requirements. One is tasdeeq bil qalb, and the second is iqrar bil lisan. That the heart also must have conviction that I'm a Muslim. That there is only one Allah. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a messenger of Allah. And this a person must bring it on the tongue as well. Bringing it on the tongue, that is for the people. That now you recited the kalima, they know tomorrow you pass away, this was a Muslim person. He must be buried in the Muslim Qabristan, etc. And a person, if he just brings it on the tongue, but it's not in the heart, that is what you call a munafiq. That a person has got kufr in the heart, but he's just reciting kalima so that his life is saved. When the Muslims go to war, he will have a share in the war booty. Just for the outward reason, but inside is kufr. So iman is both. That the heart also must have conviction in Allah. And secondly, a person must bring it on the tongue. Or namaz farz hui hai, aur isi par khatam hui. And namaz became farz on what? On iman. We're completing with tashahud on iman. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Namaz became farz on iman. When you have iman, then namaz is farz on you. So when we're completing namaz also, what we're completing with? We're completing it on iman as well. With the bear testimony that Allah Ta'ala is one. Aur maloom rakhe, ke jis mazmoon par madar kisi kaam ka hota hai, takrar usi mazmoon ki awwal akhir aya karti hai. He says that also know this, that when any work is based on any subject matter, any work is based on any subject matter, then that subject matter is always repeated. The subject matter comes in the beginning also, in the end also. Person, he wants to give a bayan on something. So when he gives a bayan on something, when he starts his bayan in the khutbah, he will read an ayat of the Quran pertaining to that subject. And then he'll speak about that subject. And in the end of his bayan, what will he do? He will recap the points. He will give you the conclusion. He'll come back to that subject matter. So exactly the same way he says that in namaz also, namaz became farz because of iman. So there also was iman. And now you're ending your salah. That is also now you're bearing witness that there is no deity except Allah. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a messenger of Allah. Is waaste pehle takbir tahreema se qat hadir hone darbar khas karte hai. He says it is for this reason. That before you even say Allahu Akbar, before a person says the takbir at-tahreema and he enters into salah, he says when a person just has the intention, the qasd, of now being present in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what does he say? They also see tawheed, oneness of Allah. But he says, Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal arda hanifa wa ma ana minal mushrikeen. That parte hai, yani maine muh kiya iski taraf ke jisne zameen aur aasman banaye. He says that I have faith in the direction of that Allah, that being who has created the heavens and Allah Ta'ala has created the earth. They also this tawheed. Aur banaye. Ek taraf ka ho raha hai. That hanif. Hanif means deen-e-batil se haq hat kar deen-e-haq ki taraf mail hona. That a person, he moves away from all batil, deens of falsehood, all religions of falsehood. He turns away from that. And deen-e-haq, he now inclines towards that deen that is the deen of truth. So a person has moved away from all false deens and he is facing now the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Aur main shirk nahi karta and I do not ascribe any partners of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Aur andar namaz ke bhi ye mazmoon bahut hai. He says when you read namaz also, this subject matter comes again and again. That a person got nothing to do with shirk. He does not ascribe any partners unto Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Jaise ke لا إله غيرك. In the sana, we did the sana already. We did the meaning also. Where a person says سبحانك اللهم, which is the salam when you enter salam. So he says there also in the end, سبحانك اللهم بحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك. There is no deity except you, Allah. So see this, that I'm not a mushrik. I do not ascribe any partners. This subject matter is repeated again and again in namaz. So here also in the sana also it is that. When you read Surah Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. They also say, only you we worship Allah. Nobody else we worship. And asking for help, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. Only you we help, we seek assistance from. Nobody else. So here also, no shirk. I do not ascribe partners unto anyone. I do not make ibadat unto anyone. I do not ask assistance from anyone also. وَإِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ موجود ہے. اور جس وقت دربار سے رخصت ہوئے, تو یہی عہد وَپیمان کر اٹھے. And when a person now departs from the court of Allah Ta'ala, you ended your namaz, you are moving away from the court of Allah Ta'ala, then on the same promise you will leave here also, ki ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, baad iske durood pare. And now once you have departed, now left the court of Allah Ta'ala, bearing witness that there is no deity except Allah and Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the messenger of Allah, now is durood and salawat upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. هذا مولانا فضل الرحمن گنج مراد آبادی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ. When he used to make ترجمہ of اللهم صل على محمد, he used to say کہ محبت کر اور پیار کر محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے. Show love to Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. So here he says الہی رحمت خاص بھیج اور اوپر محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے. Allah send your special رحمت, your special mercy upon Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam aur aale Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke, and send your special mercy on the family of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, jaise rahmat e khas bheji tune upar Ibrahim alaihi salatu wasalam ke aur aale Ibrahim alaihi salatu wasalam ke, just as you sent your special mercy upon Ibrahim alaihi salatu wasalam and the family of Ibrahim alaihi salatu wasalam. Tu hi hai saraha gaya buzruki wala hai, and you are the only one, Allah, you are Hamid, you are worthy of praise, and Majid, you are most exalted. So know this meaning also, try and learn this meaning, that what is this durood that I am sending, this dua that I am making for Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Your person saying ilahi barakat bhej upar Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke, Allah send blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam aur ali Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke, and send your blessings upon the family of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, jaise ke barakat bheji tu ne upar Ibrahim alaihi salatu wasalam ke, as you send your blessings upon Ibrahim alaihi salam aur ali Ibrahim alaihi salam ke, and upon the family of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Tu hi saraha gaya, you are the one that are worthy of all praise aur buzruk wale hai, and you are the one that is most exalted. Ab adab ke saath namaz se bahar aana chahiye. Now that you have recited the durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam, now you're going to come out of namaz. But he says, how must you come out? Now a person must come out of salah with adab also, with respect. Not just a person comes out just like that, but with adab and respect a person must come out of namaz. Bahar ana namaz se farz hai. To come out of namaz, to terminate your namaz in a particular way, this is farz. It is compulsory to come out of namaz. This is what in the kitab of fiqh is referred to as khuruj bi sun'ihi. Through some action of a person, he comes out of namaz. So he says here, to come out of namaz is farz. Or tahiyya masnoon namaz se bahar aane ka shara mein ye hai. And he says, what is the sunnat greeting for a person to come out of namaz? When a person comes out, what is the sunnat greeting now to come out of namaz in Shariat? It is this, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. That you say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is the sunnat greeting for a person to come out of namaz. Munfarid ko chahiye ke ba waqt salam ke farishto kiraman katibin ki jo iske daaye aur baaye hai niyat kare. Now there are different categories of people that are performing salah. The first one he talks about here is a munfarid, a person that is reading his salah individually. So he is on his own for some reason, he is traveling. Now obviously he on the road somewhere, he has to read his namaz, so he is on his own. So this person who is a munfarid, when he is making his salam to the right and is making salam to the left, then he should make niyat of the malaika, the kiram and katibin, that our every person, the amir is on the right hand side, the ma'mur, the one that is commanded, he's on the left hand side. So make salam to both the kiram and katibin on the right hand side and those that are on the left hand side. Ke parishto kiram and katibin ke jo iske daaye aur baaye hai, niyat kare. So make niyat of these people. And then he comes to the muqtadis, that how the muqtadis must make niyat.